WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively back out on the beat and around all week. All of our Maryland Crab Cake tour stops brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play beginning March 4th. It is inching closer. February, short month, will be at Mama's on the Half Shell doing the first of many, many Crab Cake tour stops. This guy's had a crab cake or two with me. Luke Jones joins us now, usually in the aftermath of a football Sunday. Been a long time since last July. We have not had a football weekend around here. It's always a football weekend, though, right? Whether it's the Commanders making news, or whether it's Brian Flores getting hired by the Steelers, or whether you just sort of move on to the USFL things, or things that we usually do around here, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's always news. I mean, we know that. I mean, the only time that the NFL calendar is truly quiet is those first few weeks of July. And then at that point, it's usually just, you know, is there a high-profile player arrest or something weird happens along those lines? So there's always news. And even if it has been a little quiet on the Ravens front from the standpoint of they still haven't announced their coaching staff, even though we know the likes of Zach Orr and some other reported hires coming on board. But I think it's that first Sunday, and clearly, you know, you have the week buffer between the conference championship game and the Super Bowl, which, you know, they play the Pro Bowl. And as I watched a few minutes of the NBA All-Star game Sunday night, I was kind of thinking to myself, which of those games is worse? My vote's on the Pro Bowl, by the way, if you saw any of that. But
well,
it is strange when you have that
entertaining for a little while.
I mean, it's still entertaining in the fourth quarter because that's when they actually try. The Pro Bowl was just terrible. I mean, anyone that's so far gone. There's no, it wasn't even competitive enough to say play flag football. The effort level was that non-existent.
It's almost like a dunk competition where nobody makes the dunks. Sort of,
yeah,
like that.
Well, right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, at least in the NBA, they still go up and there'll be some nice dunks. You'll see some nice shooting. In football, it's at this point in the Pro Bowl, but you know. But that aside, when we get to post Super Bowl that first Sunday, it's strange. I mean, I'll openly admit, I went and saw a movie at 1 o'clock. I finally saw Spider-Man. It's only been out 2 months, which is crazy that it took me so long to go see it. But there is that strange feeling that there's some emptiness to that. And you mentioned, yeah, the USFL and certainly, you know, we'll be coming up on the combine, although interesting, you know, with the NFLPA and agents and talking about players boycotting, very interesting there with, you know, the proposed bubble that kind of caught a lot of people by surprise. But you know, not having a football game to talk about that first Sunday, as you mentioned, first time since late July, it is weird. It is weird, and there is a little bit of an emptiness, and I think there's a sense of trying to fill that void. And you know, you and I will certainly get into talking baseball, the Orioles, and the lockout that the owners, you know, saying they quote must cancel the start of spring training games, which we know that's not true. But that part of it aside, not even having baseball to talk about, and even here locally, talking about the Terps, I mean, the big question is who's going to be their next coach? No one's really caring about what's going on with the Terps.
Not
with
Juwan
these games.
Howard, by the way.
Juwan Howard and Greg Gardner. That was crazy. Absolutely crazy. But, you know, I mean, and certainly there have been some nice stories. I mean, give Towson some love. I mean, certainly they've had a really surprising and pleasantly surprising college basketball season. But you know, you don't have the Ravens. You don't have any NFL games to talk about. You don't even have pitchers and catchers reporting to even, you know, even if you're excited about the Orioles in 2022, which, you know, Adley Rutschman will be along at some point. Grayson Rodriguez, good chance at some point. But it's just that weird feeling.
Luke, don't make it bad.
And there you go.
Sad song. Yeah, they had a press conference. I didn't get invited to that one.
Is that the one guaranteed sellout for the season at Camden Yards?
Depends how much they ask for the tickets. If they want $700,
and that's fair. That's fair. And that's
like your mother wants to go, but your mother has a price range.
Well, and my family went and saw Paul McCartney up in Hershey a few years ago. It was a nice show. In fact, I believe, I think you were there for that. Didn't we run into each other?
Beautiful night under the stars with the Jones family.
It was quite lovely. So, I'm all for having concerts and more events at the ballpark, whether we're talking Camden Yards or Raven Stadium. But yeah, it's just, this is always a weird time in the sports calendar, but considering the circumstances of baseball, with where the Terps are right now. It's a little stranger than normal. And again, if you're a football fan, that first Sunday without, it definitely leaves you longing. And I guess the saving grace was Super Bowl 47 replayed on NFL Network on Sunday afternoon. Happy ending once again. I'm happy to report to you.
Well, the lights went out first, and it was a conspiracy.
They did.
Luke Jones is here. He's a Baltimore Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. And you know, all the NASCAR people were out. All the Ricky Bobbies were out over the weekend. So I had that. Look, I knew we weren't going to go into the baseball rabbit hole here. We were talking about things that were catching our attention. So, and you know this about me, right? I mean, you've known me since before you knew me. You followed me and were a listener and like all that. You know that, like, when I get hard on about breaking a story, I got like some real dog journalism blood in me. You know what I mean? Like, when I want to know, I get very, very directed. So when the McCartney thing happened and I heard about it instantly that it was happening and the Orioles were making a big announcement, I had three people say, it's not a big announcement, it's McCartney. They're actually having concerts now. Moeller's so excited that the Orioles have figured out this revenue stream. And I'm like, Buffett's been doing this for 20 years in baseball stadiums. Springsteen's been doing it for 20 years. So yeah. Like, this is not new. McCartney's played every other baseman. He's played Philly. He's played Cleveland. He's played New York. He's played LA. He's played Washington. When all of this happened, I reached out on Thursday night to try to break the story. And I was actually really going to be a prick and have you text it out at 5:20 in the morning when I found out. Now, I got the inside information around 9:30, but I went to bed early. So I woke up at 5 in the morning and I had the date. And the date was June 12th. And the source that sent me the date was impeccable. So you know how I am. I started bleeding it out on Thursday night. I'm looking for it. People started hitting me. I started sniffing around. Some people sniffed around more. And before I went to bed, I had the answer on my phone. I didn't see it till I woke up because I went to bed early. So I woke up. I knew it at 3:00 in the morning. And I'm like, June 12th. And the person that hit me with it is impeccable. Unless it was a typo that he meant to say July, I was like, let me make sure that the Orioles aren't home June 12th, right? Let me just make sure. So I went to the Orioles.com website, and this is where the story gets a little strange. Went to the schedule, saw they were out of town, saw that like June 12th was a viable, and that my source is impeccable. Like the source that told me June 12th, I'm like, it's June 12th. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a typo. But I went to the website, and it was the first time, maybe the first day of the lockout, I went to MLB.com and like, sort of like, wow, they took all the paint off the walls. But I had not been to Orioles.com. And I went to Orioles.com at 3 in the morning when I had the McCartney date before the press conference on Friday. And I tweeted it, I don't know, 5:20 in the morning, just to be late enough that somebody may actually see it. And for me to wink, wink and, you know, tickle myself, you know, where it feels good that I broke the story because I was the first one to have it. But I went to Orioles.com, dude, and like, it's one thing to serve bad coffee in a coffee shop and try to get away with it. I don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I went to the website. It's like they're not in business. It's like they don't have a business right now, really.
Well, I think what makes it, and keep in mind, I mean, the way that baseball handles their quote, official sites, you know, through MLB Advanced Media and all that. It's a little different than the NFL's model. It is different in that way. But I think
it is the front store door of your store, right?
No, like I understand
where you go.
I totally agree. But just to show you how messed up it is right now, and you're not going to be surprised to hear this, but MLB.com's front page story when baseball released their statement Friday afternoon, this past Friday afternoon, we know Grapefruit League action, Cactus League, was supposed to start on February 28th. They mentioned that that was being pushed back, did not mention the word lockout in the story. And that to me is just crazy. And this is where, again, we'll talk more in depth about it, but there you go. The omission of the word lockout and, you know, baseball's official statement saying we must, and I use air quotes, you know, using my fingers as quotation marks, saying we must cancel these early games. No, No, it's already in place that they could end the lockout right now. They could play a new season and continue negotiating, and they would play under the terms of the previous CBA. The owners are doing this. And that's why I'm so tired of hearing people say both sides, oh, you know, it's billionaires against millionaires. Well, you know, one of the things that the union is fighting for is minimum salaries and players that are pre-arbitration who are not millionaires and they're not making as much money and they might only have a year or two. So you saying that just jogged my memory of seeing that over the weekend, that, you know, their story, you know, their updated quote news on the labor situation did not have the word lockout in there at all. And you know, it just speaks to how incredibly silly this whole, not silly, because silly would mean that it's a lighthearted thing. It's not lighthearted at all for someone who cares about baseball. But I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And it shouldn't be, it's not surprising. And I'm sure, you know, you go back to the lockout in 2011 with the NFL, I'm sure NFL.com, you'd find similar juvenile type coverage in terms of not really giving, you know, omitting truths or lie, you know, whatever, however you want to call it. But it's just, you see that and it's just so off-putting on the heels of, hey, football season's over. Guys like you and me, pitchers and
you
catchers
call
report.
It juvenile. I don't even know. I that isn't even like, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? It's an embarrassing corporate decision. You know what yeah. I mean? It's a decision made by lawyers, clearly. It doesn't smack of reality. You know, that's the issue. There's nothing tangible about it that's rooted in reality. We're in a lockout. It should say that on the front of the site. We're in right. a lockout. In the same way that when your employees don't show up for work, you put a sign up out in front of the fast food place and say, we don't have any employees today to make you breakfast. Like, you just tell them the truth is what you do. I don't know what they're running from. I really don't. And the fact that there's no negotiation going on, really, that they get in a room and say, F you. No, F you. No, F you. And you and you and you. And then 15 minutes later, they come out and they're like, we met for 15 minutes. It wasn't constructive. That's what the updates are. And then you're wondering, then you call them juvenile for the, they are juvenile. I mean, they are in a different place spiritually, financially, just in how they're conducting their business out in front of everyone right now. Because it was one thing to be locked out in 1981 and my dad, or strikes, and my dad to be pissed at the sporting news. It's a whole different thing to be trying to run a business. What happens to the people that report to work there? I mean, Rakubaka, what is he allowed to report versus not allowed to report? Write versus not allowed to write? The team employees, ticket sales. My friends at the Chaucer, by the way, I want to give a shout out because I was at the Chaucer. The beer was very wet and cold there the other night. I was in Highland Town. I stopped, got some wings, picked up some Brussels sprouts. And they called Brian and they said, hey, you want to run an opening day bus? Because they know Brian's baseball guy. He's an old school, or he's Berkshire. He's like, let me get this straight. You want me to call a bus company to get a bus and hold a bus? And you want me to take money from my customers to go to your baseball game on opening day 6 weeks from now, and there's no spring training. And you seriously want me to give you money for tickets now? You want me to front money for a bus? You want me to take money from customers in Islandtown for a game that all of us can concede right now is in a small amount of jeopardy?
I mean, it's a lot of jeopardy at this point. I mean, this week in which we're in the midst of now, one thing that did come from the statements was it does sound like the sides are planning to negotiate every single day this week, which is at least a change from where we've been. I mean, you know, you keep one thing I want to stress, because you kept saying they. We're talking about the owners here. I mean, the owners are the ones who decided to implement a lockout. What was it? Beginning December. And not engage in any negotiations. I mean, okay, what are we doing here? And what are we doing here? And that's what you keep asking. And as I've said to you in previous conversations, and I'll stand by this, the biggest thing that the union is guilty of is how lousy they did in the last two CBA negotiations. And they're trying to make up ground. And I'm supportive of that But when you do as poorly as they did in those last two negotiations, going, you know, 16 and go back to 2012, I mean, what do you think is going to happen here? So from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, you just look at it and it's incredibly frustrating. And I think, you know, you mentioned the story about opening day and, you know, the soft deadline that's assumed, because one thing they learned from, oh yeah, keep in mind, we lost over half of a baseball season because of something called a pandemic 2 years ago. And now we're talking about deliberately not playing baseball, Major League Baseball owners. Really? Really? I mean, it's just, it's unthinkable to me that we could come to that, but we're at the point now. They had a 3-week spring training in July of 2020. In looking back at that, seeing the number of injuries they had, the challenges they had with pitchers and what have you, there was a consensus that they need a 4-week spring training. That's kind of the consensus. So where does that leave us? That leaves us February 28th, roughly being a soft deadline of if we're going to have a season start on time. Now, could you wiggle a couple days here or there if you're really close? Well, to me, it's going to come down to where are they on the competitive balance tax, where, you know, the numbers that they've exchanged have been not even close. You know, you say they're far apart. That's an understatement. I think all the other details could come together much more quickly, but until we see the owners make their quote best offer in that regard, you know, we're going to be looking at this in terms of what you just said, that, you know, at best opening day feels, I mean, you said a little bit of jeopardy. I think it's a lot of jeopardy at this point. And, you know, we're going to have to see a whole lot of progress this week to avoid that. And what's crazy, you mentioned opening day, and I think back to where baseball was 1994, 95. And I think about that here locally. Camden Yards was 3 years old at that point in time. Peter Angelos was 2 years, you know, less than 2 years into his ownership. And, oh yeah, there was a guy named Cal Ripken closing in on the streak. And we know what he meant for all of baseball, but certainly how important he was here locally. There is none of that right now. But I mean, you can say that for the sport, but if you want to talk about how it pertains to the Orioles in Baltimore and where Baltimore is from a baseball standpoint now, and that's not to say that I'm down on Mike Elias or their farm system or anything like that, but let's call a spade. No one's been going to the games. No one's been going to the games for several years now. And I don't blame anyone for that when you're not trying to win, when you are in a full-blown rebuild. So you have all of those factors that are working against you from a standpoint of there just isn't a whole lot of interest beyond, hey, go to Bowie and see Adley Rutschman last year, like I know, you know, people in my life did on a regular basis last year. Or, you know, go see Grayson Rodriguez pitch in Norfolk for at least the start of the season before potentially we see him in Baltimore. But beyond those elements, what are the Orioles, you know, especially if we're talking about the season not starting until May, let's just say hypothetically, there's nothing there.
Or they can't compete anyway, right? So right, they're not winning anything. So this is the same story as 2 years ago during the plague. Why play if we can't win and we can't make money or we can't make as much money? This is where, you know, John comes in on a Zoom and there's no questions about, you know, no ticky, but we'll help us sell McCartney tickets, but we're not going to answer any real questions about our franchise. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. But this is how they operate. This is how they've been allowed to operate for 30 years, and they're continuing to operate. You can go to their website right now. It's not even serving, like, cold coffee. It's serving trash. I mean, like, the front of their website is
no, but
has
but
nothing to do with their organization. So there is no front door. There is no information. There's only, we'll let you know when things are sorted out. You know, that's kind of the, we're not taking any questions right now. We'll just let you know when you're invited to come back again. I don't know who else runs their business that way. Baseball does because they've always believed people would come back.
Well, and that's what, and again, this is an MLB thing. I mean, this is when you've scrubbed the photos of all of your Major League Baseball players, guys on 40-man rosters. I mean, you know, that's not an Orioles exclusive thing. That's across the board. But my point is, when you're talking about a specific franchise that's down right now, in the same way that you could talk about other teams that have been in the top five, you know, I mean, Arizona was awful last year, for example, but you have that. So there's a lack of interest and a lack of enthusiasm already. And then when you talk about a work stoppage that flat out alienates people. I mean, you mentioned 2 years ago, there were circumstances that are completely out of the Orioles' control. You know, there was a reason why there were no fans in the ballpark for anyone 2 years ago. But you're doing something now as a sport to deliberately not put baseball out on the field in an effort that I see the negotiating in bad faith in an effort to try to break the union. Boy, we saw anger in 1995 when the sport as a whole was far healthier in terms of where they were pre-strike 1994. I think we would agree with that. And
what
it was a different
get away with then.
Right.
What they could get away with.
Yeah. I mean, it was a completely
they can get away with a lot more now because the money grows on trees now. That there's
they
a
can.
Lot more guaranteed money now. They had to play 30 years ago to make money. There's enough guys now that the stratosphere of the money and the automatic money is built in that I don't know enough about it to know whether the Denver the franchise really wants to play, or the Seattle franchise really wants to play, or the downtroddens, the Tampas and the Oaklands, whether they really want to play or not. The Orioles are the downtrodden. Who am I kidding? Like, whether they really want to play, or whether the San Diegos and the LAs and the Atlantas and the teams that think they're going to sell tickets and that it's going to be a fruitful season. Maybe the White Sox feel that way. Obviously the Yankees want to play, and you know, the teams that really make money, that the teams that matter, the top eight want to play. The rest of them, I don't know where the threshold is for the owners, that group of hawks that's going to say, all right, deal's good enough, let's go back and play. Because I don't know where that pull is. I mean, it was different 30 years ago.
Yeah, but they do have to play. You know, they can't just not play the season. I mean, they lose money then. You know, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and so much of this gets into what we saw with the 60-game season 2 years ago, and talking about prorated pay and not wanting to give them prorated pay and all that. But I guess my point is just
a lot of that created the bad blood for this, though, right?
Oh, no question about it. Okay. Well, we talked about this. I mean, I think I even and look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm very well versed in the nuance of the CBT and, you know, the all the different ramifications of that. But I do know we vividly recall talking about this 2 summers ago and saying, what, boy, we're getting a preview of what we're going to see in the winter between 2021 and 2022. And based on what we're seeing now, I fear we're going to see missed games. And I said at the time, and I still feel that way, it is so catastrophic. And everything you just mentioned about the money and revenue streams and MLB advanced media and all the different factors are at work, though. Let's also keep in mind what baseball's business model has been in terms of television. And we are seeing RSNs drop. And, you know, I think Dish TV doesn't even carry Masson, I think, now, and it is the case for a lot of RSNs. So you talk about not putting a product out on the field in the midst of trying to figure out what your new model is going to look like as these owners try to hold on to the idea of RSNs and cable and satellite when you have more and more people cutting the cord and what that means. So, you know, that's the one thing that I've kind of acknowledged to this, as much as I have so much disdain for Major League Baseball side of this thing, because they're the one instituting a lockout here. The players, you know, the players didn't go on strike. They're locking out the players. But I just look at this in terms of where are you going as a sport in terms of how people are going to consume your sport? And that's a very real question. That's a serious question. You and I have talked about for years now. And on top of that now, on the back end of a pandemic where we saw all but 60 games and an expanded weird playoffs wipe out a season 2 years ago, and now you're going to run the risk of not having a full season? You're going to run the risk of a work stoppage bleeding into a regular season and having empty ballparks come early April? I mean, that's just, it's one thing to talk about that in Baltimore, but just across the board, I mean, we saw so much disdain 28 years ago now, talking about the strike in 94 and coming out of that in 95 and how much better the Orioles did, quite frankly, that year because of the ballpark, because of Cal Ripken, because of the fact that they didn't field replacement players in the spring of 1995. But we saw it was really ugly. It was very ugly around baseball. And to your point, they could, at least in their minds, they could get away with a lot more at that point in time in terms of goodwill, I would say, in terms of goodwill with the public. But we saw how nasty it was. So now, fast forward nearly three decades, and you're talking about the possibility of losing games and not playing a full season for the second time in 3 years, and this time of your own doing, your own accord. That's a slippery slope. And as I've been saying to people in my personal inner circle, just speaking as Luke Jones, the baseball fan, I've said, I can't recall a time I've ever had more disdain for Major League Baseball. I still love baseball, the sport. I love the game. In fact, MLB Network had, the Andre Dawson Classic over the weekend, some college tournament going on, and caught a few minutes of that. I still love the sport. I love the game, but my disdain for Major League Baseball at this point, it couldn't get worse than it is right now, because just see all of these factors at work. And, we've talked about this for years. How are you capturing new fans? It sure as heck isn't not playing games come April. And boy, the fact that we're even talking.
You muted down there at the end there, Luke. You lost a little audio there. I think you unplugged. Luke Jones is here. He is he's angry. He's Howard Beale. He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. I think you're back on now. Thank you.
Am I? Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. You are.
I got my microphone couldn't take me getting so ticked off about this whole thing.
It's what, just you were getting fired
disappointing.
Up.
It's disappointing. I love this game. I still do, and believe me, most people my age. I'm in my late 30s now. Most of my friends, other than a couple, they're not really into baseball. And it's not even an Orioles thing. They're just not into the sport as much. I still love the game. I want this game to continue to flourish and succeed and to last I want it to be around and be relevant 20, 30, 40 years from now. But, I just look at viewing habits and who they're catering to and what the owners care about, which is maximizing every penny in the short term with the long term be damned. And it's just not good. And I don't want this sport. And let me be clear. I'm not suggesting baseball is not going to be around in 20 or 30 years. That's a little bit of hyperbole. But do I want it to be something that is such a niche that no one pays attention to maybe a few days in the fall? 70 years ago, look at what horse racing's prominence and where they were on the scope of the American sports scene, compare it to now. And I say that with no disrespect to the horse racing industry. I enjoy seeing the Triple Crown races, but for most people, 70 years ago, horse racing was something that was talked about much more regularly than it is now. And I don't want baseball I feel baseball is rapidly going down that path. If you don't have some leadership talking Rob Manfred, but we know he works for the owners, that to understand that, we need to be thinking about the long term here. And what I see on a yearly basis, and certainly it's coming, coming to the forefront with this lockout. I don't like where the sport's heading. I really don't.
Luke Jones is here. You can find him there at BaltimorePositive.com. You can also find him out on social media at Baltimore Luke. We're going to be talking plenty of football. I wish we were talking baseball. I'm so disgusted by it that I haven't spent a lot of time talking about it. You can find my piece with Eric Fisher. I'm inviting Barry Bloom on this week from Sportico and longtime Major League Baseball insider. So we'll do some baseball around here this week before it's all over with. Certainly a lot of Baltimore positive stuff as we get up on election season, as well as the Maryland Crab Cake Tour now coming back to life on March 4th now that we're demasking here a little bit. So I'm looking forward to my crab cake at Mama's on the Half Shell. We're going to start the tour there on March the 4th. Luke and I are sticking around talking some football. You can stick around all week long and find me anywhere the internet is served. Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, and of course on Facebook. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.